This is the Uncover You podcast, and I'm Eva Beronius. I'm here to help you navigate your transformational journey so you can experience the you underneath the conditioning and unconscious beliefs. You always find the show notes over at selfmasteryandbeyond.com, and you're welcome to join me live for these sessions over Zoom. Let's get to the core of things. Here's today's episode. Let's look under the hood of a question that I get quite often. And the question is, how do I learn to set boundaries with other people? And there's no problem with the question itself. I encourage us to ask ourselves that question. But often it's asked from the perspective that we need some new skill to deal with an external situation. And that's half true. It is about an external situation. But in this episode, I invite you to go deeper and look at the structures that might be hiding in your unconscious. And I think there might be a moment of marvel where we can marvel together at how our external world and the relationships that we have with others often seem to match our inside world of beliefs and how our inner parts are relating to each other. So to get started, I want to talk about a few situations. They might not cover everything, but those are some common ones. Some situations where we often feel that we lack boundaries, or if we lack boundaries, those are the situations that we often find ourselves in. And where it almost seems impossible to ourselves to set those boundaries or to stick with them. So if this is you, you might, for example, experience someone only relating and connecting with you on their terms. So they might be showing up or walking away on their terms, and they set the conditions for how the relationship should work and be run. And when you try to set conditions or ask for what you need or want, that might be rejected or dismissed in some way. So in this situation, you often end up feeling not seen and respected. And often it feeds that feeling of unworthiness and feeling dismissed. Another situation might be purely abusive relationships where you know that your boundaries are being crossed again and again, whether it's verbally or emotionally or physically, but you find yourself keep returning to that relationship or not being able to separate out from it. And this often brings up a deep shame inside of us because we're seeing with a part of our minds that this is not a good situation to be in. This is not how I want to be treated. And we start forming the belief that it must be something wrong with us for staying in the situation, that we're not able to walk away. So we feel there's something wrong for us for not standing up for ourselves. And we often feel ashamed about this. Another situation might be that you're having difficulty with saying no to others when they ask for help. It might be something with something practical or emotional support, something that you're good at and that people kind of want from you and that they value. But there's a hard time with balancing those requests for others with your own needs and with your own schedule or your family. So you end up giving this away and end up juggling, just fitting this into your schedule or even overcommitting. So now you probably end up making commitments, making promises that you can't keep, and you end up doing the same thing that you were trying to avoid, disappoint people. So that's often what drives, like, I shouldn't say no, you don't want to disappoint them. But you end up in a situation where you've said yes to so many things, you feel overwhelmed, and now you end up disappointing anyway. So often here, we just kind of feel defeated and like we're running behind the train and trying to catch up. And often when it gets too far, we just want to give up and kind of hide away from the world because we can't stand that feeling of disappointing someone else. And then another situation that I want to mention is various forms of codependency. So that's where you feel that different degrees on responsibility for someone else's emotional state. So where you've taken on a role of making sure they're feeling good or even, you know, keeping them floating or keeping them from hurting themselves or into an addictive behavior or whatever it might be. You've taken on a role where you're like, I'm partly responsible. I'm codependent for how they're feeling. And often in that situation, it feels like there's no room for your needs and your growth. But often also like there's no way out of that situation. Our minds can't see a situation where it would be okay to leave without being, you know, selfish or not caring or... So we often feel stuck, frustrated, guilty, and in a while in this situation, you start to feel numb and kind of check out because of that frustration and that guilt. It's like, it's eating on us. It becomes too much after a while. So whether it's one of those situations that you have experience of or recognize or a variation of them, something that often happens when you're experiencing situations like this is that it's likely that you do one of two things or both of them. So one, we often point outside at that external situation, that relationship, that person, as the cause of the feeling that you're experiencing in these examples. The frustration, the guilt, shame, feeling defeated, whatever it is. We're looking at the situation and we're saying that situation is causing this emotion that I'm having. That's number one. And number two is that we often also blame and judge ourselves for not doing something different. Like, here I am again. I'm doing the same thing. And a part of our mind can see this. So we point outside and say, that's the reason for emotions. And we're blaming and judging ourselves for repeating the pattern. And this is, of course, a bit of a pickle because now you're torn between blaming something outside and judging yourself. And in that, we often get stuck. Is the problem there or is it here? And nothing seems like a good solution from there. So instead, I invite you to look at how the different parts of your mind are treating each other. And this is what many would call how you're treating yourself. And I find it helpful to be even more specific and call it for what it is. Unconscious aspects of yourself relating to other aspects of yourself while you're in their perspective. So this is what we in the self-mastery work call characters or parts of your unconscious mind. And they have taken over the wheel. And you're looking at the world through their lens. So then we need to understand what that lens is made up of. And when you start mapping what the different parts of you are doing, and when you learn about their world and what they believe, as you're learning to do here in the community and in the self-mastery courses, you'll likely find parts with different agendas. Is often not just one that's pushing one agenda, but put, they're put together in a structure, in a system, and they relate to each other. So just to simplify things a little bit, but also look at kind of two main tracks here, is you'll probably often find parts in two categories, especially when we look at this pattern of not being able, feeling it's impossible to set boundaries. And the first category is you'll probably find parts that don't feel they deserve to be loved. And number two, the second category is parts that are getting something out of keeping the current structure the way that it is. So number one, with the parts that don't feel deserving, that's often a more obvious one and one that's more spoken about. While number two, the parts that are getting something out of it, might give you some surprises and new realizations. So let's look at both of them a little more closely. So first, the parts that don't feel they deserve to be loved. Those are those hurt inner parts that holds beliefs about being unworthy or bad, not deserving, unlovable. And they often also feel they don't deserve to have a voice, to express, to take up place. So they're often like suppressed and kind of muted inside of us. Often referred to as our wounded children or exiles, if you've done any internal family systems that also talks about parts, internal parts. They often carry a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, and they get covered up, and their emotions get covered up by other parts to protect us from feeling that uncomfortable emotion of pain. So there's uncomfortableness to these other parts of feeling that pain that that hurt child is feeling. So let's distract. Let's find a way of managing them. Let's find a way to switch out of them. So that's the first category that you probably will find parts in when you go into look and inventory what might be going on. And then that second category, parts that are getting something out of keeping their current structure there. What do I mean by that? Well, in a often surprising way, at least to our minds, to our conscious minds, most of the parts are getting something out of keeping the system that's been created in place. But kind of in a general way, like, even the hurt parts are getting something out of it, because imagine that this is their whole world that they've created around these beliefs that they're unworthy. That's like, it's all they know. They exist within it. They're like the sun in that solar system, and everything is moving around that identity and that belief. So changing it would feel like their whole world is dying and that their purpose would be taken away from them. So that's kind of the general idea, like, okay, they're getting something out of keeping their world because it is their whole world and they don't know how to exist outside of it, without it. But there are some more specific structures and parts that you can keep an eye open for when you look for these parts that are getting something out of it. And yeah, there are, for example, protector parts that don't want to lose their job in protecting from the pain that's underneath, because one, they believe that the pain is bad, we shouldn't be feeling that, something bad is going to come out of that, and they've only often learned one way of protecting from it, like in their way, solving it. That's all they know because that's all they learned. So they don't have any options. They don't know of any other options. So they believe that you really need them. they believe there's no other way of getting this job done and that they need to stay. So they're like, we can't lose our job. You need us. This needs to stay. We're getting something out of this. So, and there's also an aspect that that current structure is safe. Even if it's uncomfortable, and even if other parts are, you know, complaining about it and we can't have it this way, it's still safe because that's something that's known. These parts don't know what might happen. If we start saying no to people or if we set boundaries, will we be rejected? Will we be violated? Will something dangerous happen? So to them, it seems better to stick with what they know than stepping into the unknown and do something that might be dangerous. And then there are parts that actually enjoy the feeling of unworthiness, of shame, of embarrassment. Might seem surprising, but your unconscious is way more, how do I put it, queer or diverse than our conscious mind wants to admit to. And that's, of course, where the problem lays, because these parts that are finding some kind of pleasure in feeling pain or even inflicting pain onto others, they've often been buried so deep inside of our unconscious. Because our thinking mind, our conscious mind is like, we can't have that. That means we're a bad person. That's not good sociable behavior. We won't be allowed in the tribe. We won't make any friends. So those parts that are actually finding enjoyment in feeling unworthy or feeling pain, they'll often be shut down and suppressed deep down in our unconscious, where they will stay and, of course, impact our lives and our relationships because they are not seen. So now they're operating in the darkness. Just to make an example out of this that might be a little more tangible and also to have a little fun with it, let's look at the fairy tale of Cinderella as an example. So, you know, the story of Cinderella, there are many versions of it, but she lives with her evil stepmother and stepsisters in some of these versions. And they're treating her like their worker, like their slave. They've taken away her beautiful clothes. They are taking away her right to kind of live and be in her house. And they're just making sure that she's working for them so that they can have the prince's life that they want. And Cinderella kind of, she has this kind and light spirit and heart. So she doesn't really put up a fight with them. And also in these stories, often she's quite young. So maybe, you know, she doesn't have that agency, but she succumbs to her chores. And in a way she finds a bit of a pleasure in them. She's like working hard and making it, perfecting them. And she's singing while she's working and she's making these connections with the animals and the birds around the house. But she has a part that dreams of a different life. Dreaming of something else that might be possible for her. That dance, that ball at the castle, for example. And like I mentioned, there are many different versions of this folk tale, but let's imagine, just for the sake of this example, that Cinderella was a little older at this point, and maybe she'd grown somewhat bitter about her situation. So she's secretly blaming her stepfamily for the life that she has. She might not be that lighthearted all the time, but she has moments where she's like, those people, they have made my life into a living hell. So when that opportunity to go to the ball actually presents itself, She also might have a part that rejects or doesn't fully believe in this princess version of herself. You know, we can play with that symbolism of that princess image kind of just crumbles by midnight, and she runs away from the prince and the castle while her gown is turning back into her old rags. So it's really, a part of herself rejecting and not believing in that image, and that makes it crumble. So as far as I know, Cinderella didn't make an inventory of her unconscious parts, but let's take a wild guess at what could have been going on in the dark of her basement, so of her unconscious. If the Cinderella version I describe would make an inventory, she might find something along the lines of a part of herself that doesn't feel loved. And that's the part that kind of believes in the version that are playing out around her. She's like, yeah, that matches with that. That matches what I'm feeling inside. And B, a part of herself that rejects the hurt part's feelings. So we often have a part that rejects our hurt parts. We're like, that shouldn't be here. So the hurt part is not heard, is not allowed to express what it's feeling. And we're keeping this intact inside of ourselves. So this part will often override the hurt part, managing and giving reasons to why we're in this situation. So instead of just acknowledging, I'm feeling this way, I have a part that feels this way, that's when we start pointing and giving reasons to why we're in the situation. And even maybe that we somehow deserve it. If we didn't do that, or if we just had said no at that point, then things might have been different. But maybe it's our fault somehow. C, she might have a part that compensates all this, these painful emotions, and then that rejecting part that rejects the pain. Well, let's get away from that. Let's compensate by working hard and succeeding at work and kind of finding joy in it and making it perfect. And that part is probably not ready to let that structure go, because it's like a reward. It doesn't know of any other way of feeling like we're accomplishing something. It doesn't know of any way, other way of feeling worthy. So it's become a way that they're like earning that worthiness. So D, yet another part that Cinderella might find, is a part that enjoys judging and blaming the people around her. In this version where Cinderella might have been grown a little older and bitter. So because that anger and injustice that's probably there, because that hurt part has been squished down, with that there's often also anger and injustice. But that anger and injustice don't have many other outlets, because also the hurt and the pain is not acknowledged. So if the anger and injustice don't have many other outlets, it's going to come out somewhere. So it might be a part that actually enjoys judging and blaming the other people for the situation, and like, wow, feel an enjoyment in venting that, getting that out of us. And also there's the bonus that if we keep pointing the finger at others, we direct the attention, or these parts direct the attention away from them. It's like, don't look at me, look at where I'm pointing. And then I would guess that in her, there would be a part E, a part that hopes for something better, but that have that wish and that longings, like, but it's kind of far away. It's up there at the castle. It's in a different life. If just something magical could happen, a miracle. But this part mainly becomes like a cog in the wheel of keeping this structure intact. So that longing for something else brings up more feeling of pain because of the lack, that we're not having it. So now all we see is the gap. We're longing for this. That's what we want, but we have this. And now we feel more pain of that lack, and now we need more compensating strategies to not feel the pain. So that longing kind of loops Cinderella back to the beginning of her unconscious chain reaction. As long as no action is taken in a different direction, or she starts to address her old beliefs and start like, okay, let's shift those. And often, none of these parts, like we mentioned, truly believes that anything else is possible, because they live so much in their world, even the one longing, because the longing means it's something that we don't have. Longing for something means it's a lack. So when a different situation and a different opportunity is being presented to us, to Cinderella, in the form of walking away, stepping out, saying no, being invited to the ball, we unconsciously push it away, which to our conscious mind seem very contradictory. Like, this is something that I want. And this is often when we go into judgment and blame of ourselves. So instead of being stuck in this loop, what do? If you really want to change your way of relating to others and grow those skills in setting boundaries, I encourage you to start with changing the relationships inside of yourself. That does not mean that I'm telling you to not step out of an abusive relationship or something where you're not in a good situation. Not at all. But if you find yourself in a situation like that again and again, and you're not kind of able to step out of it or change that behavior or change the situation, then go in and look at the relationship that the parts of your mind are having with each other. And once you've changed internally, what seemed like a struggle, setting those boundaries in relation to others, will go much easier. And the steps of changing these internal structures is, I'm going to summarize them in kind of in three steps, but it's a process. It's a skill building process where you over time get better and better at these things. So it's not something that you go do 1, 2, 3. But to summarize them, first, you need somewhere else to relate to this whole internal structure from than inside of it, because you've been inside the perspective of it. So you need to learn, first of all, how to step out to the observer, to that point of view of the observer of this structure, observe the patterns from outside of them. And that's something that you'll practice over time. It does not happen in one single go. And then when you do that, now you can start connecting with these unconscious parts and allow them, learn the skills to allow them to release the emotions that they are carrying, because it's the emotions that are holding the belief that they have. And now you're a big step closer to accepting and loving these parts than you were before, because you're relating to them outside of their worlds, you know, their solar systems that are very one-sided. They only see one single thing in there, and that's the belief that they've been living by. Because that self-love and self-care, it lives inside of you already. And it's more about learning to connect with it than learning self-love itself. Self-love is there. Learn to connect with it by removing these other parts in the way. And now, both caring for these parts and having compassion for them, and in caring for yourself and your body and everything that's part of your being will just grow. So from this perspective, you might see that the reason that you were allowing others to treat you crappy or not setting the boundaries, not saying the no's, even when you're trying to help, was because your inner parts were treating each other crappy. So in that sense, can you see how the external was a big reflection of what was going on inside of you, the relationships that the parts inside of you have with each other? And when you start to connect with that natural self-love that resides inside of you, and it's just waiting to be discovered, it's waiting there for you. A quite magical and in a way also very logical thing will happen. Like that investment in the old pattern that you've been making, it's gone. Those beliefs that were holding, directing your investment into that pattern, they're gone. So making other decisions, saying no, walking away, setting up your own conditions and boundaries for relationship will feel possible all of a sudden because you've changed the beliefs underneath. So that might appear as, it might look like a lack of interest in the past drama that you were so invested in. All of a sudden, there's just no interest in keep doing it. And you might let go of that relationship. Or you might change the conditions for it if the other person is willing to go there with you. Or maybe suddenly it makes total sense and it's easy to say no because you feel that your own stress level and you want to take care of you. It just comes very much more natural. You don't want to add more to your plate because you care about yourself. So what seemed impossible before with the old belief structures, suddenly it's natural. So you start recognizing often at this point that a no to others can be a yes to yourself. And the only person to take the best care of you is you. So simply because there are no unconscious structures in the way of feeling that love and care for yourself anymore, they're gone. So the self-love and the care for yourself is there. And those structures and those beliefs, they fall apart. Because they were all lies to begin with. So, that's what I wanted to cover about that. If you have any questions, please write them in the chat and I'll take a look. Let me know if that resonated, if you recognized it, if there are other situations that you're in that you're like, I wonder what's going on here. So Sinle is asking me if they could have the recording after. And yes, I will post this recording in the community so you can find it. There's a topic, like a tag, that's called the Uncover You Sessions. And you'll always find all the recordings and the events there. And Mo is asking, how do we inventory where we are currently in the process? Sometimes I sense I'm further along than I allow myself to recognize. I think a good start to recognize how any process, how any progress is being measured, is to go in and see who is measuring. So just what you're mentioning there, Mo, like how do we inventory where we are currently at in the process? Well, maybe a better question to start with is like, who wants to measure my process? Who is it important to? And who is currently in charge of that process, of the measuring? Often, different parts of us can have many different versions of where we're at. Yeah, the judge has one version, our hero has another, our spiritual evolved selves have a third version. So I would invite you, Mo, to do a little bit of an inventory of the parts that they believe they have an answer to that question. Because I think that's a really good starting point. Before we can know what is the truthful answer to that question, let's look at what's on top of the truth. The layers, the characters that are holding beliefs around it. So make an inventory of all the different parts that have an opinion about how far you are with your progress, and just see if they are different from each other. And with that, you'll also get to see who of your parts are often in charge of measuring progress. And now you have a much better chance to look beyond them. Hope that helps. And Ed is saying it resonated. As a matter of fact, I just went through this and resolved it. It's beautiful. And more people are saying, chiming in, Eddie. Norm is asking, the biggest challenge for me is to address overwhelming fear to open a conversation brought on by a history of failed attempts to stand my ground in a relationship. I quickly disintegrate into anger and become unable to think a straight line. I end up embarrassing myself for yelling and feeling a need to apologize for my behavior. And I end up taking responsibility for the failed effort to make change in the relationship. Is this a common experience? It sounds like a very smart structure from what I'm reading in your question. Because there is a part that have something that they want addressed. And maybe it's from integrity, or maybe other parts are involved also. But there is something there that wants to be addressed, that wants to be expressed. But then it sounds like there's a villain or a part that has a lot of unresolved emotions that kind of take the opportunity to come out and, yeah, get really angry. Or maybe it's a protector part that's scared that their boundaries will be, you know, crossed again. So they're coming in with this anger to begin with, like for all the injustice that has happened all these other times. And now another part is seeing like this is not okay behavior, this anger. We're not doing a great job here. And now they're like backing off from the whole situation. And yeah, like what you describe, embarrassment, needing to apologize. So it seems like a very smart, let's keep the structure in place loop. And our unconscious is full of these smart loops. often the way out of this is like one, map inventorying, but two is to get to the emotions that are stored. If there's a lot of anger that's stored for all the injustice, finding other outlets for it, releasing it, it might take weeks and time of boxing into, you know, at a tree in the forest or whatever it is that we can help us get that out. Because when you can start separate the emotion out from the actual situations that are happening now, like the past emotion with the actual situations that are happening now, and both are allowed. Like, no, we're not going to suppress the emotion. The emotion is allowed to come out, but it doesn't have to be related to this situation in particular, but that emotion will take that opportunity to express itself. So starting to separate this out, and it will probably not be anything that's just solved overnight because you're like, oh, now I see how it's working. No, it's about allowing the emotion to be released. So those are some hopefully helpful nuggets, not the whole picture, to go into that specific situation that you're experiencing. There are probably more aspects to it, but hopefully that's some helpful nuggets to it. Christiana is asking, I just realized I'm Cinderella. What about when it's family? I find more difficult to set boundaries with my mother, for example. I always felt responsible for her, especially now that she's 72. Yes, this is a common situation, especially when our parents grow older and we feel this responsibility to take care of them, but we have unresolved emotions with them. And as they grow older, they might move into dementia or Alzheimer's, and now it's even hard to have a good conversation with them, and it becomes even more challenging because their emotional outbursts might be bigger. So now we're dealing with our parents as children, in a way. So I would say it's the same approach here. Yes, it will be challenging when it's family, and especially if we live under the same roof as them and we're taking care of them and we have the part that feels the responsibility for that and might be shaming and judging us for not really wanting to take care of them, you know. But again, it's part and aspects of our unconscious that are relating to each other. And again, the more you can step out into the observer perspective of them, start mapping them and allow for the emotions to release that has been held with, the hurt parts, the angry protector parts, and what else might be going on in layers on top of the hurt and the pain. So I would say again, even if you might not be able to get to the situation itself, the situation might be what it is for a while ahead, but you can work on how your parts are relating to each other. And that will give you new perspectives. And that will also give you new ways of relating to your mom in this case. So say you could listen to this again, or if you feel ready, go sit and make a little inventory and see what kind of parts you're finding in these categories. Parts that feel hurt, and parts that are getting something out of actually keeping the structure intact. Let's see what you find. Thank you for listening. Do you want to tune in live with me over video next week? Then head over to selfmasteryandbeyond.com for instructions. And if this was helpful to you, I appreciate a review in the podcast app that you're using. Until next week.